Good morning. I want to welcome you to worship, whether you're here online or in person. I'm so grateful that you're here. I am Tim Ward. I'm the pastor here at Crossroads. And here's what I know. There are some of you who are here this morning because you just need to be in church today. Amen? Because this has been a real hard week. And it's a hard week after hard week after hard week after hard week in this country and in our world. So here's the deal. I'm not going to do everything perfect today. We're not going to solve problems today. But we come together. And let's let God do what God does. Amen?
Amen.
Holy Spirit, I pray that somehow, in some way, you might speak through me today. God, that you would give us ears to hear exactly what you want us to hear today, that our minds would be open to understanding, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed. God, I pray this every Sunday, but specifically I pray that you might meet us here. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple of weeks ago, before Buffalo and before Uvalde, I had a phone call. And it was a meeting, and I do meetings a lot. I serve in a couple of capacities beyond our local church. I'm on this team called the Board of Ordained Ministry, and that's a really fancy way of saying I'm on a team with a group of people that help discern whether or not people are called to be pastors. So we sit around and we interview people and we listen to them, and part of my duties in that role is that I chair this team called a candidacy committee team. And I find that to be a really important team because that's the team where people come forward and say, I feel like God might be nudging me to do this thing, and we help them discern that and do that practice together. So we have a retreat coming up in July where that's going to happen. And we got on this call and we had a meeting, and it was a Zoom meeting. And I know we've been doing this for a long time, but I still find Zoom meetings kind of hard. So we got in this meeting, and I wasn't really sure what the agenda was of this conversation. It was called, I didn't call it, somebody else called it. And we got into this conversation and we started diving deeper and deeper. And not only was I not sure what the agenda was, I would throw ideas out, and they were being shot down pretty quickly, and that's always defeating, right? When you throw ideas out, and they get knocked down right away. And then I had blocked an hour for the meeting because I had other things that were going on that day, and other people on the call hadn't seemed to block an hour for the meeting. So we got to about an hour and five, and I was like, hey, I think I'm going to have to go, and there was some frustration going on during that meeting. Now, I tell you all these details. You go, Tim, we don't really care about your meeting. Why did you tell us this? I tell you this because I want to describe what was happening inside of me during this conversation. I'm sure this never happens to you, but as this conversation was going, I could feel things inside of me start to heat up a little bit. Right? I like to use this really kind word, frustration, for that. Frustration sounds a lot nicer than anger, doesn't it? Oh, I was just getting frustrated. But I found myself really getting angry in the midst of this call. Like, why am I wasting my time doing this? This isn't fruitful. We're not getting anywhere. Nothing's going to happen. So I got off the call, and I felt like I had hit it really, really well, right? Because I'm on a screen. People can't really tell what I'm feeling. So a couple days later, I get this phone call from somebody else who was on the call. And they said, hey, I'd love to talk to you about something. And I was like, oh, great. We're going to extend this meeting, right? That's already gone on. And this person said to me, hey, I feel like our conversation was terse. Terse. Terse is a kind way for saying, you were angry. Right? A really nice way. And I said, in my normal beginning way, I said, no, it was fine. And this person was like, no, it wasn't. And they called out this thing inside of me that was evident in a conversation on Zoom. We're in this sermon series right now. It's called How Do I Do That? And we're talking about real human things that happen. Last week, we talked about courage. This week, we're talking about anger. Next week, we're going to talk about how we share the truth in love. And we talk about these real human things because I think a lot of times in our culture, people tell us that emotions are not okay, right? It's not okay to get angry. Have you ever heard that? Right? We often tell our children that. It's a terrible parenting skill, right? When we tell our kids, don't get mad. Don't get angry, because what do they do with that anger if they never release it? Or we'll say, don't be sad, don't have too much energy, don't do this thing, because in our world, we often try to suppress those things. and say, let's put off this image of perfection. Let's put off this image of no problems. And I want to, in this series, really try to dive deeper and deeper and deeper and talk to us about how it's okay to have real emotions, how it's okay to do real things, how it's okay to have real feelings and how we respond to them. So today I'm going to talk about anger. I believe anger is a real emotion. How many people in this room get angry? Raise your hand. How many of you did not raise your hand and you are lying? Right? Anger happens. Not my wife. She didn't raise her hand. She never gets angry, right? No. Anger happens. It's this real thing. And I think I want to say to you right now, anger is okay. Before people try to tell you that getting angry is this terrible thing, I want to tell you it's okay. In fact, we're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper on that. In fact, it is so okay that it happens in ways that we don't expect it, and we have to figure out how to deal with it. How do we pay attention to it? Now, it happens to me often. Sometimes it happens when I'm driving and somebody cuts me off. Anybody get angry when you get cut off? Woo! That's bad, right? Or somebody pulls in front of you and then slows down. Oh, that's terrible. Sometimes it happens when I've told the kids multiple times to stop arguing and they just keep doing it. I know none of your kids do that, but sometimes my kids do that, right? Sometimes it happens when I'm questioned about a decision that I know is right based on past experience. Sometimes it happens when I walk home having a frustrated day and there is just stuff everywhere in my house, right? When I walk in and I fall over a backpack. Whew. Well, that can send you, right? That can get you really, really angry. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I feel it coming on. Do you ever feel it coming on? You don't want to recognize it, but you feel it coming on and you go, all right, I'm about to explode. It's popping out. It's boiling inside. The water's getting hotter and hotter. And you feel it happening. And then there are some times, friends, when we can't feel it coming on. When something catches us that we don't know, that we can't explain why it frustrated us, why it's happening. I can do a lot of work in my life, but ultimately anger creeps in. I can't prevent it from ever happening. I don't believe that anger in and of itself, as I said, is a terrible thing. It's a real human emotion. It's such a basic emotion. When one of the best Pixar Disney movies, Inside Out, came out, it's one of the top five, right? Right? I love this guy in the movie. Because I go, I can resonate with that guy. I can feel the anger that comes from him. So if anger is not a terrible thing, what's the issue? Why would I even talk about it? Why is it important? I think the issue is how we deal with our anger, how we respond to our anger, what we let happen to our anger. And I think to get to the root of that, we have to understand what motivates anger. And I know it's different things for different people, but sometimes the motivating factor is injustice. Right? Sometimes we see things in the world that are not right and they're not the way that things are supposed to be, and we get angry. I have to tell you, and I shared it on my Facebook page on Wednesday morning this week, and I went back and forth as to whether or not I should, but I woke up Wednesday and I was angry. I was angry about what happened on Tuesday. I was angry about the fact that my very first emotion after it had just happened the week before in Buffalo was numbness. When it first happened on Tuesday, when I went, oh, there we go again. Another one's happened. I was angry because we are the largest country in the world that has the leading problems when it comes to this issue. And I'm being intentional about the way I'm talking this morning because I know people of different ages are in this room. Right? I was angry because we can't deal with it. I was angry because I have this feeling over and over and over again that it's money that drives the issues of mental health problems in our country, of issues with certain types of guns, of whatever problems they are. I was angry because there are issues where some of our schools in this country are not set up to protect our children. And I was angry because I didn't know what the hell to do about it. And I woke up and I was like, Lord, what now? What do I do with this injustice? So first I thought it was injustice, but then the second thing is another category that I've fallen in, and it's fear. Because I started thinking, what stops it from happening at my kids' school? What stops it from happening in our community? What stops a tragedy like this from hitting so close and so deep? And why does that matter more than the fact that this one happened in Texas? So I found myself in a place where it was fear, where it was injustice, and where it was an inability to know what to do. I had people posting and saying, thoughts and prayers don't matter anymore. There's a piece of that. But doggone it, we still gotta pray, right? There's a piece that's not enough. And then I started thinking about other motivations for anger that come to me. Sometimes annoyance is a motivation. Do you ever get annoyed? Some of y'all are like, no. Yes, you do. Right? There are things that just annoy you. Like when you come out of a store and somebody's parked real close to your car. You can't get the door open. You got to climb in through the hatchback in the back just to get to the front seat. Right? Maybe it's because we only have a certain number of views at one time that can happen on Hulu in our house, and other people are watching it. Yeah, that happens. But here's the deal, friends. When we think about annoyances that make us angry, that just doesn't compare, does it? It doesn't compare to fear and injustice that pushes us so far. When we're scared, it often leads to anger. When something is out of control and it causes fear, it leads to a type of anger. I think a lot of my feelings this week were fear. Fear that as a country, we will never get past this. Fear that as a nation, we will continue to have our children placed in harm's way over and over and over again. And fear that when my kids had a lockdown this week because of a tornado and nobody was telling them exactly what was going on, they were terrified as to what was going on in their school. Fear. Now, friends, sometimes it's fear or it's annoyance or it's injustice or it's frustration that leads us to a place where we actually become out of control. Our anger gets so much that we take it out on the people around us. That we say things that are hurtful, that once they come out, they can't go back. That our anger pushes us to a place where we really don't know how to deal with it. At Crossroads, I want to talk about real things, and this is a real thing. This anger that comes out of us in response to these things is a real problem. I don't want to encourage us to diminish real human emotions, but I want us to think about how we deal with anger. What's our response? When injustice happens, like what happened this last week, what do we do? Because we're called to do something, amen? We're called to do something. And if all I do is get angry and post on my Facebook page, is that gonna help anybody? If all I do is get angry and take it out on my children, is that gonna help anybody? We're called to do something. Now going back to the basic human emotion of anger, how do I know it's not bad? Well, Jesus dealt with it, right? Jesus dealt with anger. He got frustrated, the turning of the tables. I would say almost every interaction he has with the Pharisees is one where he's real upset in what they're saying. But the Bible talks about God getting angry. Do you think God is angry over what is happening to folks in grocery stores and in schools? Do you think that makes God angry? Yes. It absolutely does. God deals with anger, but one of the places we see anger over and over and over again, and we see that it is okay because God continues to interact with the person who is angry, is found in the Psalms. That big chunk of your Bible, which is found right in the middle. We hear words of frustration, words of people being upset, words of people being angry with God. I want to look at Psalm 137 today, and I want to see if it resonates with you. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept. When we remembered Zion, on the willows, there we hung up our harps. There our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, 'Sing us one of those songs of Zion.' How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, Let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter Babylon, you devastator. Happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. Whew. This is not a feel-good passage, is it? This is not a part of the Bible that you go to when you want comfort. This is a hard place. Happy are those who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. What is wrong with this psalmist? I want to give you some context. The psalmist is in a really hard place. It's during the Babylonian exile where their land has been taken over and they've been sent out. They've seen their loved ones die. They've seen their land destroyed. They've seen their homes destroyed. They have pain after pain after pain. So the anger here comes from loss. And the psalmist is offering a prayer of anger. Did you know you can do that with God? Did you know you can offer a prayer of anger? It's an honest prayer. The psalmist says, God, I want them to receive the pain that they have caused me. I want that to come back. Perhaps this is based on injustice. That's the motivation that we find in this prayer. Did anyone experience that sort of anger this week? I want somebody to pay for it. I want this to stop, and I want somebody to be held responsible. And that could have been a multitude of different people. It could have been your elected officials. It could have been the person who was responsible for it. In fact, before we get so judgmental about the psalmist, somebody reached out to me this week and said they were sad that he had taken his own life because he should have had to pay for what he did. And that was a real, honest, human emotion in the moment. Look, I'm not here to justify anger. I am here to say we find it in the scriptures. We find it in this place. And look, I know anger was not the only emotion. Some people felt sadness. Some people felt helplessness. So I don't want to negate or diminish any emotion you had. Really, I'm kind of working through my own stuff today. My own frustration. My own anger that I'm walking towards. The American way seems to be punishment should fit the crime, right? That's what we say. I want to say it again. I don't believe that anger is the problem. I believe it's our response to anger that's the problem. I think it's what we do with it. So what are some things that we can do? What are some things that we can do to deal with anger that's healthy? First, try and address anger before it hits you. You go, wait a second, how do I do that? Come on, y'all. We know sometimes, right? We know when it's boiling. We know that if we get up and the coffee's not made, that day's gonna be tough, right? I don't even drink coffee, and I know that about you. So try to stop it before it starts. Think about some of those things that you can put in place in your own life to pay attention to. Count if you need to count. Breathe if you need to breathe. Do meditation, whatever it is. And that doesn't mean don't ever let yourself get angry. I'm saying if you know there are things or people that push your buttons, be aware of that. Pay attention to that. Here's the second thing. Acknowledge the anger. I do this wrong all the time with my wife. I will come home and I will have some emotions. I know that surprises you all. I have emotions. But I will have some emotions and my wife will say, hey, you seem like you're really frustrated right now. I'll say, no, I'm not. I am not. Do you know how unhelpful that is? When we don't acknowledge it? Do you know how unhelpful it is when we don't say it? I can't tell you how therapeutic it was for me to wake up Tuesday morning and go, oh, I'm angry. Wednesday morning. That's what's going on. I'm really angry. And I want to do something about it. So acknowledge the anger. Talk about it. Otherwise, we'll continue to cause hurt. Now, I'm going to add one in here. Don't do the next one yet. I'm going to add one in here. Do something about your anger. Right? If you woke up Wednesday morning and you were angry about what happened on Tuesday, do something. Write your elected officials, and I don't care where you stand on the issues, write your elected officials and say, this must stop. We have to do something. Go somewhere and volunteer at a school. And I bet the teachers would love that right now in these last couple of weeks. Go and write a letter to a principal or a teacher or something and tell them how grateful you are for them and how much you appreciate what they're doing. Whatever you do, do something. Because if we just hold on to this and let it boil more and more and more and we do nothing about it, we're going to explode. And also, doing nothing does nothing. Doing nothing does nothing. Here's the next one. Don't do rage. Just don't do it. There is a very big difference in getting angry and moving to rage. You know that moment. Many of you have experienced it, that moment where your anger turns into the point where no one around you can do anything right, no matter who they are. It's when we say things that are hurtful, where we push people with words that don't help, where we say things that we can't take back. Rage doesn't help anybody. Here's the next thing. Speak to God. And you go, Tim, why didn't you say that first? Well, it just showed up number four on my list. Speak to God. Tell God your anger. Some of us think that we can only pray if we have sweet words to say. Read the Psalms. The psalmists say, God, I am mad. There's one psalmist that literally says, I am so upset that my bed is floating in my tears. Maybe there's a little hyperbole there, but somebody is upset. Speak to God. Share your honest concerns. Several people posted this week, I said it already, no more prayers and thoughts. Well, friends, I think prayer is still really important because in the midst of prayer, we are reminded by God to act. We are encouraged by God to move in the midst of prayer. There are also families who have lost their children. And for goodness sakes, we're called to pray for those people. We are called to lift them up. There are kids that don't have their parents. And we are called to pray for them. Speak to God about it. In the book, Being Nixon, A Man Divided, there's a story. And it tells the story of Dwight Eisenhower dying. And they reached out to Nixon because they were good friends and said, we want you to deliver his eulogy. And he was talking to his communications person who was writing down as he was saying words about him. And he said, you know, Ike never got mad. He never got mad. He said, Ike loved everybody and everybody loved Ike. And his communication guy looked at him and he said he could tell that Nixon paused because he was puzzled. He didn't know what to do with that moment because he hadn't just told the truth. He said, there's no way possible Ike never got mad. He said he got angry. But for him, he dealt with that anger and he moved on. He never allowed that anger to get to a place of rage. And he didn't allow that anger to break relationships. I know the last few weeks have been really, really hard. At least they have for me. And I know the last few years have been really, really hard. And there are people in this church who have come to me and they have said, Tim, there are family members who I don't understand how they're making the decisions that they're making in their lives. And I don't know how to be in relationship with them anymore. And what I want to say to you is, you never have to be in relationship with people who abuse you. You never have to be in relationship with people who constantly put you down. But I wonder if there's a way to deal with relationship and to deal with anger that doesn't lead to rage that completely breaks relationship. I think the way we deal with anger is really important. On your seats today, you have a card. I want to encourage you to pick up that card. On those cards, I want to encourage you to write a prayer. It can be about that which happened this last week in Uvalde. It can be about Buffalo. It can be about a relationship you have. It can be about anything you want to do. And if you want, when we come to communion today, you can take it up to one of the tables and light a candle as you give your prayer over. Your prayer can have words of anger. Nobody's going to judge your prayer. Your prayer should be really honest about where you are right now. If you're feeling numb and you're not having feelings, that can be your prayer. God, as we have these candles lit this morning, let us not become complacent. God, while we might have numbness, let it not last for long. God, let us, as the church, allow our collective anger to be heard. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.